Going to be reading this morning from the book of Joshua and chapter 1. We live in days whenever there's piles of issues and piles of stuff going on, and I was challenged as we read through the book of Joshua that we as Christians, for those of us who know Christ today as our Lord and Savior, that there's a challenge to us to rise up and to take a firm stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what we believe in, how we believe in it, and what action we need to take as believers to let this world know that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's not a dead God. We used to sing the old chorus, God's not dead, he is alive. And the reality is that he is alive today, and that we, as his children, have a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous honor to serve him and to work for him and to glorify him in all that we do. So I'm going to read from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a real challenge to all of us this morning who know Christ as our Savior. Joshua chapter 1, have you got your Bibles or your phones with you? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people will get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite countries to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of thy servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go into and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. The book of Joshua is an amazing book, and one that I would encourage you to read. If you get a chance to read it, take that opportunity to sit down and read it. The man Joshua spent a lot of time under the leadership of Moses, so he would have gleaned a great deal from Moses, from his lifestyle, from his personality, from the way that he interacted with God, from the way that he interacted with people. Joshua would have known a lot about how to work with people and how to come under subjection to God. At the point that we start reading this morning is the point where the reins are being handed over to Joshua. He is becoming leader of the Hebrew people, leader of the children of Israel. God has now chosen at this point to lead the people into the promised land. Moses had died, and there was a new chapter in this story. This people were going to be led by this new leader. God had a plan and a purpose for the people of Israel. He had a plan and a purpose for Joshua. Joshua, as I say, had learned to interact, so Joshua was ready for this chapter in his life. He was ready. He was ready to take on the challenges of the promised land. He was ready to take on what God was going to lead him into. There would be many different circumstances that he would face. There would be things that he would face that he maybe wouldn't expect. But his trust and his faith was in God. He wasn't trusting in himself. He wasn't trusting in anybody else. He was simply trusting in God. And it was as I read this portion of the Word of God this morning that God began to challenge me about my journey. Am I ready to face the challenges that God will bring across my path? We, as I say, live in a time when there's a lot of uncertainty. We live in a time whenever our Christianity is being challenged. For those of us who are saved in here this morning, you know the challenges that we face whenever we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There are many challenges. And yet, the Word of God teaches us that we need to learn to trust Him whenever we face these challenges. These challenges will help us actually grow and develop in our relationship with God. They will help us to become stronger in our faith. So we don't always need to look at a challenge as something that is to pull us down, something that is depressing. It is actually something that will help us grow and develop in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I began to look at this and study this, I began to question myself, you know, are we ready to live? Am I ready to live a victorious Christian life? The Lord Jesus Christ died that my life might be a life of victory. It might be a life of certainty in a world of so much uncertainty. It might be a life of power in a world that thinks they have a power, but they don't really have a power. The only true power comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I ready to do whatever it takes to be a believer in this day? Am I ready to stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I ready to be a man of God that God has called me to be? Are you ready to be that person? Am I ready to stand in the face of adversity whenever adversity may come? Or am I going to be one of those people who will live in denial of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And all these are very genuine questions, certainly were to me. Norman spoke a few weeks ago and he asked a similar question. Are we ready to allow God to break strongholds in our life? You see, so many of us, and we'll look at this in a wee minute or two, so many of us are held back by particular strongholds, a stronghold of something that has a grip on you and can hold you back and seek to destroy and disrupt your relationship with God. So are we ready to leave those strongholds, to deal with those strongholds, to get them sorted and to move on in our faith and on in our relationship with God? Are we ready to destroy old habits, things that would keep us from moving on in God, obsessions that we have that we think we can't live without? Are we ready to give up relationships that will hold us back in a relationship with God? So many of these things are very, very real, and we can all be affected by things like this, in particular relationships. Sometimes a relationship with a man or a woman or a business partner or whatever, sometimes those things can hold us back in the relationship with God, that one relationship with God that truly matters, that one relationship with God that will lead you into a place of power and authority over all our relationships. But the devil comes in and he throws all these things at us and he distracts us from what is really, really important. So are we ready? And then if we are ready, are we willing to draw? Are we able to draw from the Lord? Our only strength, our hope, our power this morning comes from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. There's no other source that we can draw from except the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of Israel were in this position at this time. The children of Israel and Egypt were in a place of bondage. And Egypt is often a sign of an unsaved world. God knew that the children of Israel needed delivered from that bondage. They were being held back. And you know, sin holds us back. The Bible is very clear that we're born in sin and shaping an iniquity. And the reality is that some people don't like to be called a sinner. Some people, maybe even here this morning, don't like to hear that you are a sinner. But the Word of God teaches that we are a sinner. But the great news is that God didn't want us to be in that place. God didn't want us to be out of relationship with Him. He longed for us to be in a relationship with Him. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have that relationship with him. Sin can affect us in many different ways, and some people actually become slaves to sin. Sometimes sin gets such a control in our life that we miss out on what God has really planned for us. And this sin, you know, somebody once said about sin, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. But God, thank the Lord, doesn't want us to remain there. That's where salvation come in, and that's where the salvation for the Hebrew people come in. God wanted to set this people free. God wanted to deliver this people, and he gave them a plan through Moses and through Joshua and a way that they could be delivered. So Joshua was ready for this new undertaking. This was a new man, a new leader who would do things in a new way, who would maybe be different from Moses in many respects, but the reality is he was God's man for that season. And we have always got to be prepared to listen for God's man or God's woman in the season that God has called them. Joshua was ready for the battle. He was ready to take the people into the promised land. And you'll remember that Joshua had actually been there before. He was in the promised land before. He was one of the spies who went to view out the promised land. He was one of two spies who came back with a great report. The land was flowing with milk and honey. This was a great place for God's people to be. And he was more than happy, I'm sure, to be the man who was leading them into the promised land. He was going to fulfill God's promises, folks. The land was a gift from God. The reality is, though, that it had to be taken. It had to be fought for. Yes, it was a good place. It would be a perfect place for God's people, but it had to be fought for. You know, in the same way, salvation is free to us. Christ paid a price on Calvary's cross that we might be saved. Salvation is free. But if we are to grow in our faith, if we are to become the men and women of God that God requires us to be, sometimes there will be battles. Sometimes we will have to fight for what God wants us to have. Sometimes, like the children of Israel, we will have to claim the authority, claim God's authority, and bring ourselves to that position where we are willing to fight, willing to claim that authority. The land was a gift, yes, but it had to be fought for. And it's as we fight and as we determine ourselves to press on into God that we will grow and mature as Christians. Through those battles and those victories that we will gain, we will grow in our faith and our relationship with God. You know, every person in this room is in one of three places. It may be that you're still in Egypt, still in the place of sin, needing to be saved. God has made a way, as I say, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that. You understand that. But the difficulty is that you haven't made any response to that. You see, the children of Israel were about to be delivered. Joshua was going to be their leader. Joshua was the one who was going to lead them into the promised land. But unless the people decided to follow Joshua, they weren't going to be saved. They weren't going to get the promises of the living God. And salvation's the very same. Unless we may know the gospel, we may hear the gospel, but unless we decide to choose to believe what the word of God says, there's no salvation for you. There's no promise for you because you have to choose. You have to respond. God calls us to respond to the message of the gospel. Whenever we reject God's call, then we build barriers between us and God. So maybe you're still in Egypt this morning. Or it could be that you're in the wilderness. And the wilderness is a place where there were believers. And many people as Christians today are in the wilderness. They're saved, but they're not going anywhere with God. There's no passion in their relationship with God. There's no fire in their belly. There's no excitement of am I saved? You know, I read a book one time and it really encouraged me, and I did this for a long time, and sometimes when I remember to do it, I do it yet. The writer of the book would have said that he faced every day as a person who knew and believed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew that there was battles to face, and he knew there was issues he was going to have to deal with. So when he got up in the morning, he used to get up and stand at the side of the bed, and he would shout, "Devil, I'm up." In other words, he was saying, I'm here for today to live for God, to do what God wants me to be, Devil, I'm up, taking a stand for God. But so many of us who are saved, we're like saved and stuck there. And we're like the children of Israel for 40 years, they wandered round and round in circles. And as a good friend of mine said to me this week, sometimes Christians wander around in circles, but it's ever-decreasing circles. The circle is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and the passion's getting less and less, and the drive to be a good, firm, Bible-believing Christian is getting less and less. Sadly, so many of us are saved and stuck there, not really digging into the Bible, not really digging into the Word of God. And if you read that chapter, you will see that a number of times it mentions to have the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on the word day and night, be careful to do everything written in the book. The book, the Bible, is our guideline, the Bible is our code, the Bible is our instruction book. And we can't afford to be just say, oh, I'm a believer, I got saved at a meeting such and such a time 20 years ago, and I'm doing all right. Yes, you might be doing all right, but there's no passion, there's no fire in your belly. And God wants us to be men and women of God who are passionate and fired up about the things of God, believe in every word of the Word of God. That's the people who are in Canaan. Some people are in Egypt, some people are in the wilderness, and some people are in Canaan. They're saved. People who are born again, you might be facing a few battles, but you know something? A few battles, it doesn't really mean anything to you because you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Day after day, you face a new battle and God wins a battle for you. There's a breakthrough and you get excited about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer a wilderness wanderer. You're a giant conqueror. You're a true believer. You're taking it on the chin. You're fighting for your faith because God has promises for you. Just as God had promises for the children of Israel, they would have to go in, they would have to fight, they would have to take the land. They weren't given the land. They would have to take the land from the enemy. We need to take the land from the devil. We need to stand against what Satan would have planned for us. We need to have a passion to fight against all the wiles of the devil, putting on the armor of God, as Paul says, being people of the kingdom of God who stand up and people know that we're saved. People know that there's something different in your life. And that was going to be the process for the children of Israel. But they would have to go through a process in order to get to that place. There was going to be preparation. That was the first thing. Interestingly, one of the things that Joshua emphasized in preparation was that the people should make sure that they had all their provisions. Everything gathered together. Bring all your belongings and all your food. Get everything gathered together. Because we are ready to leave this wilderness experience and we are about to step into the favor of God. And you know, that must have been a really exciting time for those people. This was going to be a new chapter. And sometimes, see in my head, there's things going on in my head nobody's any idea about. I can draw great pictures in here, right? And this is a picture I have. I believe that someday, it is possible that we would be sitting in a meeting like this, just an ordinary Sunday morning, where you get up, you have your breakfast, you get your clothes on, you go out to church. You're not really expecting anything different than you expect at the Sunday previous or the Sunday previous to that. But in heaven, there's something happening that God is beginning to rumble. There's a rumbling up in heaven. And he's saying to himself, do you know, this Sunday, there's going to be a breakthrough. And I believe that sometimes, somewhere, people will come into a service like this, and there's just going to be such an excitement rise up within the people of God, within the congregation, and there's going to be a move of the Holy Spirit, and there's going to be an absolute drive for for people to focus on God, that you can't do anything else but worship Him. God is a God of life. God as a God of authority. God as a God who wants to move His people on. But we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to go whenever God says go. One of the things that was going to happen to the children of Israel was that whenever they left the wilderness, they were going to have their diet changed. You know, in the wilderness, they ate quail and manna. I called it quanah this morning for short in the first service. So they had quanah every day. Nobody had to say, what's for dinner tonight? Everybody knew it was quanah. That's what they were going to have. But whenever they moved into the new land, this was a land full of promise. This was a land flowing with milk and honey. The fruits, the grapes, and the pomegranates were large. There was plenty in the promised land. And you know, God has plenty for you in the promised land. God has plenty whenever we move in. God will never need us to give Him a hand. There's plenty there. There's plenty of provision for those of us who decide to follow Him. So they were going to have to eat new food. So sometimes people struggle in the relationship with God. And one of the reasons that people struggle in their relationship with God is that they are eating the wrong food. Nourishing and all as the quail and the manna would have been for the children of Israel, it wasn't going to sustain them for the rest of their lives. They were going to need new food. And you and I, if we feed in the wrong things, we will end up in trouble. In the natural world, if you feed in the wrong stuff, you're going to become lethargic, maybe overweight, maybe underweight, I don't know. But you'll not be doing good if you're eating the wrong stuff. And in the spiritual sense, it's exactly the same. We need to eat the right stuff. And could I encourage you this morning, there's piles of stuff that we could be reading and looking at, but that word is the word of God. That word will feed you, sustain you, fill you, supply your need. Be everything that you absolutely need is found in the Word of God. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. We need to not suffer from spiritual malnutrition, but be hungry for the Word of God. You know what happens on a Sunday and a church, churches all over the world, that during the Sunday service, people will sit and listen to the sermon. They'll either enjoy it or they'll not. That's irrelevant. But they'll listen to the Sunday sermon. And then after church, they push away from the table. There's no longer that desire for the Word of God. They push away from the table until the next Sunday. And then they come back and they get another wee dose of food. You know, if you did that in the night, or if you went home today and had your Sunday dinner and you had a good feed and you pushed away and didn't eat anything between now and next Sunday, you would be in a desperate state by next Sunday. You would be hungry, you'd be feeble, you'd be weak, you'd be worn down. And unless we feed on the Word of God, unless we learn to have a passion for the Word of God, unless we pray and ask God to give us a desire for His Word, we will never grow and we will never change and we will never be the man and woman of God that God plans for us to be. We need to have a hunger for God's Word, and that Word needs to be daily consumption. It will strengthen us. It will sustain us. It will help us grow. What we get at church should only ever be an appetizer. Really should. You know, the pastor's job is to lead you and feed you. Your job is to follow and swallow. That's what you and me do whenever we should hear the Word of God. Follow what the Word's saying and swallow it. Eat it. We're responsible for feeding ourselves during the week. We need to learn that. We need to be men and women of God. So let me ask you this morning, if you're in Egypt, you're still not saved, or in your wilderness, you're in the spiritual circle, or are you in Canaan this morning, claiming the promises of the living God? And the final point is this, if the children of Israel were going to go to the next level, They needed the power of God on their side. You see, every person in here is at a different, well, potentially at a different level. Some, and I'm speaking to Christians in here this morning, you're potentially at a different level spiritually than the person beside you. But that doesn't make you a weaker believer. That's whatever level you and me are at in our relationship with God. I believe God wants to take us to the next level. God set his people free from bondage. God took them into the wilderness. He moved them from bondage to the wilderness, to a different level. But he also took them from the place of the wilderness into a new level, into the promised land. And I believe God is always wanting to take his children to a new level. There's always something new for us to look forward to. There's always something new for us to do in the kingdom of God. God wants you this morning as a believer to move to the next level. Press on to that new level. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also need power. We need help to be able to do that. And that help will only come through the power of the Holy Spirit that takes us to that level. Acts 1 and chapter 8, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. We need that power this morning in our lives. We need that power that will take us to the new level in our relationship with God. We utterly and ultimately need to rely on God's power. And sometimes we underestimate the power of God. Sometimes we underestimate what it is to be a Christian. Sometimes we forget that the God that we serve is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There is nothing impossible for my God this morning. He is the God of the impossible. He is the one who can change circumstances, change situations, change people's life, change your life, bring you into a deep relationship with him that someday we're going to spend with him, eternity with him in heaven. I believe God wants us to press on to that new level, to gain that next level of existence in him, so that we can be effective for him and whatever he calls us to do. So we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to listen to him. We need to learn to trust him and believe in him. We need to learn to act in his word, doing what God calls us to do. You know, Joshua's faith changed the whole history of the children of Israel because there was obedience in Joshua's life to what God called him to do. If Joshua had said no, the outcome may have been totally different. But Joshua said yes. Joshua was a man who believed God ultimately. Let that be the same for us. I was sharing earlier on in the service this morning. Sometimes I would say, and I'll probably say it wrongly. Sometimes I would say I'd never heard the gospel much before I became a Christian. But you know, the truth is that I probably did. I just wasn't hearing and I wasn't listening. And I was standing shaving this morning and a man came into my head. A man that I haven't seen or heard tell of for 55 years and maybe more. He was a leader in the BB. And I don't even know what made me think of him this morning. I couldn't even remember his name. But I remember him picking us up in the car to take us to the BB. And I remember him talking about God. And I remember, he was a young fella. And I remember there was something different in his life. And I come in, and Stuart was doing the car park. And Stuart was from Clough Mills. And I was from Clough Mills. And I said, Stuart, do you remember folk who used to live up over Mount Hamilton, big house on the right-hand side, a boy in the BB? He says, Blair's. I says, that's right. He says, that was my cousin. And that man as a Christian, was a Christian. I didn't really realize it. He's a Christian, still living, still a believer. That man had an impact in my life, even though I didn't know it. And I often wonder, you know, that's 55 years later, and I'm standing thinking about him this morning. And I often hope and pray that I will have an impact on somebody's life. That you should pray that you will have an impact in somebody's life so that 55 years later, they will be standing shaving or doing their hair or thinking about you, about the impact that you had in their life. In order to do that, people need to see us going for God. I have a saying that we use on a Wednesday night, tell the people, be blessed and be a blessing. If God, we allow God to bless us, if we do what the Word of God teaches here, if we listen to the word, study the word, meditate on the word, be prepared to follow the will and the plan and the purpose of God, of we are well, that will bring blessing in our life, but that will also bring blessing in the lives of other people. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to come out of that place of Egypt. Put your trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But for those of us who do know Jesus this morning, let us not be mediocre Christians. Let us be men and women filled with power. Let us be men and women who are effective in our relationship with God. Let us be men and women that people look at and see, that guy, that woman, they're a Christian. They have something in their life that I don't have. They should be able to see that without us even telling them that. Let us, at the beginning of this new year, it's only a date in reality, but you know, the truth is that it's a new beginning in many ways. So at the beginning of this new year, let us determine within our own hearts that this year, I'm going to go for God. I'm going to do my best for God. I am going to follow the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what battles I have to fight, what victories I have to win. I know that God is on my side. His word tells me this morning, He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your God this morning if you have trusted in Him. So trust Him, believe in Him, follow His guidance, listen to His word, study His word, pray and talk to Him. And let's take this year and let's fight the battle, fight the good fight, and let's win the victories. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You paid a price for us and Calvary, that we might have a relationship with You. And I pray this morning, Lord, that if there's those in here this morning who don't know You as their Lord and Savior, that, Lord, they will find You, that they will come into a relationship with You. I pray for those of us who know You this morning. Lord, yes, sometimes there are difficulties and battles that we have to face. And yet, Lord, sometimes we forget that You are there with us. Sometimes we forget that there's somebody there to help us fight this battle. And I pray for anybody in here this morning who's facing a mountain, Father. I pray that You will help them as they pray, Lord, against that mountain. I pray that You will help them overcome that battle, that difficulty, that situation. I pray that they would come to a place of victory in their life. I pray that You will give them a determination to fight through, that You will give us all a determination to fight through and to enjoy our relationship with You. Lord, that we might be known to be children of the living God. Lord, bring glory and honor to Your name this morning. In Jesus' name. If you have been challenged this morning, there'll be prayer ministry after the meeting. Please don't leave here if you're saved and you're maybe considering trusting Christ, or if God has spoken to you, but maybe moving on in things of God. Please go and the prayer intercessors will pray for you.